Thank you for joining me today as we conclude this work week together. As usual, we have learned a lot in just these past 4 days of this week, and we're not going to just kick back, relax, and talk about the weather, or make some casual comments on the Bible today either. No, we want to redeem our time, which is short. And what I want to do is to finish my character analysis of this man, the Jewish high priest Caiaphas, who I have named the Christ Killer. To start, let me remind you very briefly of what we have already said about him as evidenced in the scriptures, beginning in Matthew chapter 26, which is our key text. He is obsessed with his own position and power and keeping it at all cost. So he sees Jesus as his greatest threat. Therefore, he lashes out against the Lord in all sorts of deceitful ways. We've covered a lot of ground in Matthew and John's Gospels this week as we studied this conniving man's way of life. And there's just one more scripture in which Caiaphas appears, and it's after the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Turn with me, if you have your Bible there, to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Obviously, when we get to this point in the Bible, Jesus has been crucified, dead, and he's buried. Imagine, knowing what you now know about Caiaphas, how much this pleased him. He had accomplished his driving passion and goal, kill the Christ. Ah, but God raised Jesus from the dead, and just a short time later, the tomb is empty, and the risen Christ is appearing to people in his resurrected body. And the disciples of Jesus are juiced. They have received their commission and their power, the Holy Spirit, to preach the gospel, and that's exactly what Peter and John are doing in Acts chapter 4. This naturally doesn't make Caiaphas, still the high priest, very happy. Hear now the word of God in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. As Peter and John were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees came up to them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem, and Annas the high priest was there, and Caiaphas, and John and Alexander, and all who were of high priestly descent. When they had placed Peter and John in the center, they began to inquire, "By what power, or in what name, have you done this?" Well, there he is again, and now Caiaphas is set on denying the resurrection of Jesus by imprisoning, torturing, and I am certain killing Peter and John and all of the other disciples of Christ, if he could. If he cannot keep Jesus in the grave, then get to his disciples and murder them. Caiaphas does not ever let up in his all-out hatred for the Lord. Now, we have come a long way from Matthew chapter 26 and verse 3, so let me reread Matthew 26:3 to you. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people were gathered together in the court of the high priest, named Caiaphas. I've wanted to give you a full-orbed picture of Caiaphas because he's the first major person in the true story of this final week of Christ's earthly life. As we now proceed down to Matthew 26, we'll meet other persons, some who love Jesus deeply, one in particular, and others who hate him also, but none have the abhorrence that Caiaphas has for Jesus. And this is a good time for us to pause in Matthew chapter 26 and ask, is the kind of hate Caiaphas had for Jesus still in our society today? Is the Lord still so despised to this level of condescension? And the answer, of course, is yes. There can be many reasons why a person will loathe Christ. I cannot possibly climb inside the mind of all would-be Christ killers. But I want to submit to you as we end the week together that there is one primary reason we find such hostility towards Jesus in our society today. And this revulsion is present in the classroom, the lecture halls and libraries of our universities, in homes, in the marketplace, such as business, and certainly in our politics, with politicians on both sides diverging wildly from God's holy and eternal divine moral law, as well as in our entertainment. If you are missing it, then you are not paying attention, or you do not care. And why do people still hate Jesus? Why can they relate to Caiaphas? As I ponder that question, I have come to the conclusion that the primary reason for such disdain of our Lord is that he stands as the beacon of truth in a culture that rejects the truth. Jesus is a bright shining light in the darkness of this world, and he shines brightest in the darkest corners of men's and women's hearts. Jesus speaks the truth to the culture and commands a determined turning away from sin and darkness to holiness and light. And people just do not take too kindly to being told that how they think and live is wrong. The average person hates to be told that, and so they hate the Lord Jesus. They want to shut off his light, to tear down his beacon, to deny any such thing as absolute truth, to deny any morality whatsoever, but to instead be comforted by this idea that how I live my life is none of anyone else's business. Butt out. Keep out. Stop judging me. Leave me alone. Jesus, I want nothing to do with you. This is the core conviction in how so many people around the world, people around you and I, live today. Maybe you live this way also. Jesus himself said this is why people have the kind of hatred for him that Caiaphas had. There's a scripture I'd like to have you jot down and read today. It's found over in the Gospel according to John. This is Jesus speaking directly in John chapter 3, verses 19 through 20. And the word light is spelled with a capital L because Jesus is the light. Light is Jesus. Listen to how he describes unbelievers in John chapter 3, beginning at verse 19. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. This is so true. John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Men and women do love the darkness more than the light, Jesus. Their deeds are evil. And so when the light, Jesus, came into the world, men and women rejected Jesus. It's the same at present. When you share with another person who Jesus is, when you give them the gospel, most often you are rejected. Why? The answer is that that person loves the darkness. This man or this woman, this teenager, does evil and therefore hates Jesus. It's not really you who has been rejected. It is Jesus. And it's hard to make friends with someone if they feel their deeds will be exposed by Jesus, whose light shines forth from you. Have you noticed how unpopular you are when you really live for Jesus, talk about Jesus, testify to Jesus, and honor the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe you have even had it said to you, nobody wants to be around a killjoy. Back off, say less. What's true for you is true for you, but what's true for me is true for me. Jesus repeats himself right on this point, down in chapter 7 of John's Gospel. Keep this scripture in mind. It's easy to remember, John 7, 7b. So just the second half of verse 7. In John 7, verse 7, part B, Jesus says, "The world hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil." I'll read that again to you so you really hear it. Jesus says, "The world hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil." This is why there is so much hatred in this world for Jesus Christ. Also, the Old Testament said this will be the case. Give ear to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 29. This is Proverbs 1:29. "Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." Millions upon millions, notice the word, hate knowledge, and they do not choose the fear of the Lord. They have no reverential awe for God. And all three of these passages describe the wretchedly sinful heart and soul of Caiaphas, as well as the true condition of the unbelieving world today in the year 2019. Really and sadly, nothing has changed. And I would be remiss if I did not ask, what's in your heart? How do you feel about Jesus? According to the Bible, there is no middle ground with him. Yes, you either love or you hate the Christ. You are either for him or against him. Listen again to the words of our master, this time in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. This is Matthew 12, 30. He who is not with me is against me. Oh, those are strong words. He who is not with me is against me. Do not miss the impact of the words of our Lord. This is an either-or of the highest magnitude. Are you with Jesus? If not, then you are against him. You are not neutral. No one is neutral. There is no neutrality with Jesus. You cannot be wishy-washy. You cannot have one foot in and the other out. You are either in or out. You are either for him or against him. Which is it? Will you think about this and answer honestly today? And when you examine your soul, are you like Caiaphas? Maybe you are more like him than you care to admit. Or maybe your hatred for Jesus is on par or even exceeds his. I invite you this weekend to be sober-minded about this and to repent of your sin for loathing Jesus. He is your only light in this dark, dark world. Take to him your evil deeds and ask him to forgive you today. I promise you, based on the testimony of the Bible, that if you will ask Jesus to forgive you of your hatred towards him, of your disdain for him, he will forgive you. So ask today, ask this weekend out of a genuine heart of repentance. We have finished our discussion about Caiaphas for now, but our journey in Matthew chapter 26 is just getting going. So be back here again at this same time on Monday. Read over Matthew 26 this weekend. We're going to get started at verse 6 the next time we are together. There is the high priest Caiaphas, the Christ killer. But there is also a woman with Jesus, and she is one who loves him and worships him. We'll meet her and talk about her act of adoration for Christ next week, right here on God Is.